Welcome to another episode of the Beef Bits Podcast. I'm Dr. Jeff Limcooler, Extension Professor at the University of Kentucky. Through the Beef Bits Podcast, we will share current news, management tips, new research, and other issues related to beef cattle production. I'll be joined by various guests to bring different views and insights on these topics. I hope you will follow or subscribe to the Beef Bits Podcast and find the information useful. For the next few episodes, I'm joined by my colleague, Dr. Les Anderson, Reproductive Management Specialist at the University of Kentucky, to discuss how we can control the breeding season and calving seasons in our herds. We will cover some of the estrus synchronization protocols and how these tools in our toolbox can help improve the production efficiency in our cow-calf systems. Sit back and enjoy these discussions as they are timely with the breeding season fast approaching. Enjoy, and be sure to subscribe to the Beef Bits Podcast.
Well, welcome back to another episode of the Beef Bits Podcast. Today I'm joined by my colleague, Dr. Les Anderson, and we're going to talk a little bit about estrus synchronization and maybe why we might even think about doing that. Welcome, Les. How are you today?
Doing great. A little bit of snow this morning, just a touch of winter here in central Kentucky. I know my wife and the kids here in Woodford County are thrilled because they got an NTI day and got to stay home. So I guess a great day in Woodford County.
Excellent. Yeah, it was a little slick here. I walked outside there and a little bit of ice underneath that snow.
You know, I had a meeting in Kenton County last night, and as I was getting to the farm to switch my cars, and drive home, the snow started, and it actually got slick before I got to the house. I'm glad I didn't wait any longer in Kenton County because it had been a little bit of a booger getting in.
Yeah, especially on those hills where you live.
Yep.
Well, today I thought we'd touch on kind of maybe some general discussion on estrus synchronization. A lot of times I think less people have that in mind for artificial insemination only, but it can be used when we think about bull breeding as well.
Yeah, you know, the work we did have done here in the past has kind of pioneered really a lot of the synchronization with natural service work that's been done. Probably the first lesson I learned, Jeff, when I got here back in 97, was that even though AI was something that reproductive specialist thought was a great idea for the industry, it really didn't fit into a lot of cattlemen's work lives and abilities at that time, because, you know, that was before we had CAPE. So we had a lot of situations where our facilities were limited and just, it was different then than it is now, really, quite a bit. And so we worked hard to come up with ways to synchronize estrus in cows and use the bulls for breeding instead of AI. And really, you know, it's the end of January here, and it's the perfect time to start planning the breeding season and getting our cows and controlling estrus on our cows so that we can have a really outstanding breeding season and thus calving season.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, one of the things that we forget about is, you know, we stress this a lot, and I know that I've heard you stress this many times. If you look back at the old SPOS data, the standardized performance analysis data, that profit driver for cow-calf industry is that pounds of calf weaned per cow exposed. And you know, we could be looking at, 230 to 250 feeder calves this fall, possibly, looking at the futures?
Yeah, you know, looking all the way out to August of 23, you know, those 750s on the Chicago Board of Trade are looking awfully good. I've got a producer that we've talked about before whose marketing plan is to sell 7 to 8 weight steers in August, and it's looking like he's going to be in that 210 to 220 range, and he's got a smile on his face right now, I'll tell you that.
And, you know, I've been bombarded with calls from, you know, high feed costs and trying to manage through the winter and that. And I always try to tell folks that, you know, we are higher in input costs right now, but with the projections on the, you know, the board right now looking the next fall, it's not a lot different on the take home money per se because of where those calves are going to be. And so I think this discussion on estrus synchronization to try and get as many calves on the ground in as short a period of time that we can is probably something I need to think about.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'm just going to give, you know, do a little preaching here for just a second, and give an example of you know, the reasoning behind what I'm about to say. A lot of times, you know, in the beef industry, well, most of the beef industry, in my opinion, is random. You know, we have random cows, we buy a bull, and yeah, the bull wasn't random, but he's, you know, got 30 to 40% accuracies on his EPDs. So that's sort of random, right? I mean, there's a standard deviation around that number, and he's going to be somewhere between here and here in his real, but honestly, there's a little bit of randomness to that. And then we turn him out, and majority of our cattlemen leave that bull in year round. So it's kind of random when that cow calves that calf. And then when we randomly wean that calf and randomly take it to the market, we are selling a single. Right?
Yeah.
And singles are not a marketing plan. And so if a producer sits down before they organize their breeding season and tries to figure out, you know, how am I going to market these cattle? And if they're going to market feeder cattle, if they want to have any chance at all to capture value out of those calves, they have to control the breeding and calving season. And the example I'm going to use is a producer we have up in Bracken County that's been kind of the star of some of our programs here lately. And when we started with this producer, he had 17 cows, Jeff, and he weaned 13 calves over a 342-day window and sold a single out of every one of them.
That's hard on the pocketbook.
Over time, so in 2021, he had 22 cows, sold 21 calves, and those 21 calves were born within a 50-day window. Okay, he had 11 steers and 10 heifers. He kept some of the heifers, but he was able to put those 11 steers together in a single group and marketed them as a group and captured the highest value that he had. Now they were AI'd calves, okay, but he was able to capture the highest value that he had ever captured in a set of steers. He then decided, well, hey, steers make me a whole lot more money than heifers. And if everybody listens to his recent talks that he's had got on YouTube, his marketing plan adjusted. He was a fall calver. He wanted to sell 7.5 weights in August, and he figured out steers were making him quite a bit more money than heifers, and we were already AI and Jeff. So Bart decided, well, if steers make me more money than heifers and I can use a straw semen that will guarantee me 90 to 95% steers and it doesn't cost any more than conventional semen, why don't I use sex-sorted semen? And this year, he has 27 steers on the ground out of 36 females, and they're all born within 30 days from the same sire. And he's set up.
That's impressive.
He's set up for that August 23, 750. Just think of the money he's going to make now. Think of the efficiency there. And so that's kind of where I'm going. And, you know, with this little bit of a sermon, because, you know, we approach the beef industry with a random nature. And any small business that I mean, their first goal, right, is to create a consistent product that helps them profit. And we kind of forget that sometimes in the beef industry. And a consistent product for the beef cattle, if you're selling feeder calves, they all got to be born at about the same time from about the same sire, at least same breed of sire. So that when you run those calves in, you know, they're not going to sort every one of them off and sell them all as singles, because singles kill us. It is not a marketing plan. Singles are a surrender flag, right? It's not a marketing plan. And that's what controlling reproduction is really all about. And that's really where we're headed here is let's go ahead and start planning right now. Number one, how are we going to market these doggone cattle? You know, if we're doing grass finished beef, Jeff, if we're doing freezer beef, some of that stuff, maybe controlling the calving season is more of a convenience factor than it is a marketing factor, because there's a lot of things that impact when that calf is sold. And I actually have freezer beef folks that calve year round, and it's a very effective production system for them because they have a constant supply of fat cattle ready for their customers. But if you're selling feeder cattle, and I don't care if you've got less than 100 head, you have to be trying to control estrus and trying to control and create some consistency in your product.
You know, I like to always say that our greatest level of uniformity is at the time the calves are born.
Yeah.
Because as you watch calves and you watch the factors that impact their growth rates and their weights, the spread in weight continues to increase. And by the time we get to a 1,300, 1,400 pound end weight on steers, your weight spread in that quote unquote group of calves has greatly increased. And so we forget about that on the back end that, you know, I've got a feedlot pen with 200 animals in it, and I'm going to market them maybe one time, and they're all going out at the same time. If I've got 300-pound weight spread in that pen, it's a profit loser for me. And so I do think, you know, we forget about that because we don't see it.
Yeah, on that farm that I use as an example, it's going to be really interesting to me when he weighs those calves up to see what his total spread is. Cause if he's 75 pounds less or less from top to bottom, man, he's created a production system that really helps his marketing plan.
That's right.
So
that's exactly right. Les, I think the other thing is that, you know, since we spun on this, you're probably going to get a lot of questions or feedback, you know, sex semen, the lower conception rates and some of those things, but how has that advanced, or what has made that maybe more acceptable to think about sex semen?
Well, you know, there's some companies that own the technology, one company that owns the technology, and they have invested a great deal of research dollars, R&D, on the sex semen product. One thing I want everybody to be clear on is conception in using sex semen can be completely normal, but also it can be a complete wreck. That also occurs in conventional semen, but people never think about that. So there is variation in between bulls or among bulls, depending on how many bulls you're thinking about. In that we've learned this with some of the stuff we're doing with yaks, right? The post-thaw motility and the ability of the sperm to survive the freezing process and to actually fertilize an egg is actually quite variable, even with conventional semen. The issue with sex semen is when you sort the semen, the variation with individual sire gets even more important. And so what I mean by that is you can't really predict high fertility and low fertility sires after the semen's been sorted as well as you can in conventional. So we have more zeros or lower conception rate, not really zeros, but lower conception rate in sex sorted than we do. And that's what skews that down just a little bit. I've done research with gender sorted semen for 15 years. It is about 6 to 7% lower conception rate compared to conventional semen. But right now we are getting 60% conception rate consistently with the product that we're using, so that when we do two timed AIs sequential, we're getting about 81 to 84% of the entire herd to conceive using the sex-sorted semen. And so now we're controlling gender on over 80% of the females that we breed. And so that's how Bart was able to really hone in and get to his tremendous sex ratio shift, as we did two sequential fixed timed AIs, and those calves were born with it was a 31-day spread between the first and last calf from each AI. And it'll be really interesting to see what happens with his weight variation, when he gets ready to market. But, if I couldn't get 60% consistently, I really wouldn't consider it as a useful technology, because 60% is kind of that's right at my, threshold for a profitable versus non-profitable venture, enterprise. But also that's assuming some marketing advantages, and with some of the data that we have coming back, we'll have known marketing advantages, so I'll be able to adjust that threshold a little bit better.
So Dr. Anderson, that Wednesday I went over to meet my brother-in-law at the cow sale here that was going on, and I ran into Greg Cole from Eden Shell, and I know you've been working with them up there on some projects and that. And he said they got 69% AI conception rates on the first round, and he said that they were using semen that had mixed sires. And so in your gender-sorted semen, I know a little bit about what you've been doing, but are those with mixed sire straws, or are those single sire straws where you're at 60%?
Great question. It's all right now. It's all mixed sire. Okay. And we'll say, well, why in the world would we do that? Well, we're trying to generate steers. Okay. So I'll be blunt with you. I don't care who the sire of the steer is, because he's not passing his genetics on, So if our biggest drawback using gender-sorted semen is individual sire variation, if we put more than one sire in a straw, we mitigate our risk that we have, if you're just using one sire, your risk of him having a bad collection and the company not know it. I mean, they run their tests, and when they put it in the straw, they're confident it's going to work. But when they realize it's not going to work? When it doesn't actually get cows pregnant. Okay, so coming out of their lab, they think it's going to work. With all their tests, they know it's going to work, but sometimes it doesn't. And so now when we put more than one sire in a straw, we just mitigate that risk that we happen to have one poor bull because we've got two good ones in with it. And actually, this is going to sound really weird, but way back in the 60s, 1966, 67, a guy from Illinois called Phil Juck, he was a physiologist there at the University of Illinois, in swine, he actually demonstrated a higher litter size when he called it heterospermic inseminations. So if he used multiple sires when he AI'd his sows, he actually got a higher litter rate, almost 7/10 of a pig more, okay, per litter. And he said it was his theory that the multiple sires actually created a competitive situation within these females. He had no data. It was just his theory, right? Created a competitive situation where it kind of increased the overall fertility because the sperm were working a little bit harder to get to the eggs. But I'm not too sure that that's actually what's going on. But his data, I mean, several litters, and I mean, his data were solid. And so that was one of the reasons, when we work a lot with that company, and that was one of the reasons we wanted to move to the multiple sire, inseminations, because, you know, we just want to mitigate that risk and increase conception. I think our conception rates this fall, based upon the first round, we're in the 63 range, which, you know, I'm tickled with, you know.
Yeah, especially coming through a little kind of a drought period there in June, and the cows may have gotten pulled down a little bit, and so to come back through with slightly above your target on conception rate's a good deal. And so I think we'll just kind of get closer to finishing this discussion up on this opportunity to use the technology that's evolved. But I think the next question is going to be is, what's the cost difference on sex, gender sorted sex semen versus conventional semen? Is there a huge cost difference?
If you want male sorted semen, so your goal is steers, there's zero difference. If you're looking at female sorted semen, you got about a 20% increase. Sometimes, you know, the female sorted semen, you know, certainly in the seed stock industry is more desired in a lot of cases. And so that's what drives that price up a little bit. But you really do a good job of kind of hammering down through there, you could probably get that price difference down just a little bit with female sorted semen.
Yeah, so it's not that it's out of reach for anybody, I guess, is a good point.
No, it's, you know, Tom Moore, a producer up in Northern Kentucky that's been working with us for 8-9 years now. He's got a 200 head. He's an old dairyman, 200 head cow unit now, total AI. I mean, he's been breeding cows his whole life with his dairy. He's just going to breed these beef cows. His conception rates consistently have been really good. And his theory literally is, if I'm going to put a straw semen in them, I'm going to put something in that's going to make us money. So he breeds for mainly for steers, and his costs are exactly the same as if he was buying a conventional straw. And so he's increasing his value with no additional input costs.
Yeah, that's awesome. That just shows you how technology and progression, how we can think about getting a little outside the box to try and increase our profit margins and returns. And it doesn't have to really come at a huge expense on the front end that maybe people think.
Yep, exactly.
Well, this has been a great discussion, Les, on thinking about maybe the use of technology and thinking about where we're at with gender-sorted semen. And so I think at this time we'll wrap this session up. You got any last-minute things you want to throw in on the gender-sorted sex semen side?
No, not really. You know, work with your, you know, semen supplier, you know, to help identify and reduce the risk if you're using a single sire. The best system for synchronization for sex semen is a 7-7. I think we're going to talk about that at some point in time, in the future. We're able to get a better estrus expression there And so one of the keys for conception rate is that you know, cows that you really want to breed a cow that's in heat or has been in heat. And that 7 and 7 gets a higher proportion of the cows in estrus in a shorter window. And then everything else is exactly the same. And my biggest suggestion is really sit down and identify how you're going to make money marketing your cattle. And then take one step back and say, okay, now let's figure out how we can produce that product to help us maximize our marketing plan. And then start thinking about reproduction, because, you know, reproduction, the ability to have a calf and have a calf in a not a convenient time, but in an appropriate time to help maximize our opportunity to market those calves is really essential for our ability to profit. And then, you know, when you start, then you start backing up, Jeff, and now you got to make sure the nutrition's right so that they can breed right. You got to make sure health's right so they can breed right. And you got to make sure the genetics are right. So
I think those are all good comments. And so, Les, we appreciate you being on. Talk to us a little bit about where the technology's kind of advanced to on gender-sorted sex semen and how folks might think about using that in the future for trying to improve their productivity.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Beef Bits podcast, which was part two with Dr. Les Anderson discussing controlling the breeding season and how that can improve overall farm profitability. If you haven't heard that first episode, be sure to go back and listen to that. And then we've got one more session with him that we'll share with you in a few weeks. I hope you enjoyed this discussion and found it useful.